need the Lord to meet with the deepest heart. John chapter 8, verse 31 says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed." So that scripture right there tells me that there's a difference between a believer and a disciple. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. So Acts 2 showed that was the watermark, that was the plumb line between a believer and a disciple. Who's going to continue in my word? Verse 32 says, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Verse 36 says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed." 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, what? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God." For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. I want to preach to you this morning on the cost of freedom. The cost of freedom. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray, Lord, right now in the name of the Lord Jesus, God, that you, Lord, would move, Lord, right now. Lord, that you, Lord, would touch, Lord, right now. Lord, and we give you the praise, we give you the glory, and we give you the honor. Everyone said, amen. You may be seated. Tomorrow begins what us in the Midwest would call the unofficial start of the summer season. Memorial Day is the unofficial start of summer to those who have been creeped up by a cold winter. To those who have been creeped up by snow and been snowed in and things like that and had to deal with snow and slush and ice and garbage and junk and cold weather and rain and everything else. It just seems like to a Midwesterner that Memorial Day is the unofficial start to summer. I don't know what it is, but there's something that gets a hold of people after Memorial Day in the Midwest that they think that revival's got to stop. That they think that they can't have revival anymore because the summer is starting, like God takes a siesta during the summer season. Like God all of a sudden says, "I know that these 3 months it's going to get hot, and I know that you're going to be working late, and I know that you're going to be doing these kind of things. But friend, I'm here to tell you, my God never slumbers. My God never sleeps. My God's always awake. My God's always on time. My God's always on the job. My God is always there." Friend, I don't care if it's the unofficial start of summer. You may have to deal with that every day of the year down here in Southern California. But friend, I'm going to tell you something. When you think about Memorial Day was called Declaration Day. It was made to declarate, and it was made to memorialize those that died for the fight. Those that died and gave their lives in the United States of America for the Civil War. But then I don't remember which president it was. All of a sudden, with a sweep of a pen, said, "You know what? We're not only going to recognize and we're not only going to pay tribute to those who have died in the Civil War, but we're going to pay tribute to those who have died in the Revolutionary War. We're going to pay tribute to those who have died in World War I, World War II, all the other Korean War, all the other wars that we have fought, the Spanish-American War." Listen, friend, I don't know what you think, but there was a cost to pay. There was a price to pay for this freedom. Somebody had to pay a price. Somebody had to lay something on the line. Somebody had to stick their neck out for what we have today. They did. There's a price for freedom. Somebody paid a dear price. Somebody paid a dear price. I got something that a few months ago, and I just started reading it, and I just felt impressed of the Holy Ghost to pull it out. It was called The Price They Paid. Have you ever wondered what happened to those men who signed the Declaration of Independence? 5 signers were captured by the British as traitors and tortured before they died. 12 had their homes ransacked and burned. 2 lost their sons in the Revolutionary Army. Another had 2 sons captured. 9 of the 56 fought and died from wounds or the hardship of the Revolutionary War. What kind of men were they? 24 were lawyers and jurists. 11 were merchants. 9 were farmers and large plantation owners, men of means and well-educated. But they signed the Declaration of Independence knowing full well that the penalty would be death if they were captured. They signed and they pledged their lives, their fortunes, and their sacred honor. Carter Braxton of Virginia, a wealthy planter and trader, saw his ship swept from the seas by the British Navy. He sold his home and his properties to pay his debts, and he died in rags. Thomas McKeon was so hounded by the British that he was forced to move his family almost constantly. He served in Congress without pay, and his family was kept in hiding. His possessions were taken from him, and poverty was his reward. Vandals or soldiers or both looted the properties of Ellery, Clymer, Hall, Milton, Gwinnett, Hayward, Rutledge, and Middleton. Francis Lewis had his home and properties destroyed. The enemy jailed his wife, and she died within a few months. At the Battle of Yorktown, Thomas Nelson Jr. noted that the British General Cornwallis had taken over the Nelson home for his headquarters. The owner quietly urged General George Washington to open fire, which was done. The home was destroyed, and Nelson died bankrupt. John Hart was driven from his wife's bedside as she was dying. Their 13 children fled for their lives. His fields and grist mill were laid waste. For more than a year, he lived in forests and caves, returning home after the war to find his wife dead and his children vanished. A few weeks later, he died from exhaustion and a broken heart. Morris and Livingston suffered such similar fates. Such were the stories and sacrifices of the American Revolution. These were not wild-eyed, rabble-rousing ruffians. They were soft-spoken men of means and educated. They had security, but they valued liberty more. Standing tall, straight and unwavering, they pled for the support of this declaration with a firm reliance on the protection of the divine providence. We mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. They gave us an independent America. Can we keep it? Listen, friend, for those that came up to this altar this morning and they raised their hands and they worshiped their God, there was a price that was paid for that freedom. That freedom cost a price. That freedom cost a price. This Memorial Day, I want to pay honor and I want to pay privilege to those who died fighting for our country. But above all that, I want to pay honor and I want to pay tribute and I want to tell those that died for the cause of Jesus Christ, we thank you, we salute you, we love you, we're standing strong, we're standing tall, we're going to preach what you preach, we're going to believe what you believe, we're going to hope in what you hope for, the blessed assurance and the blessed return for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There was a cost to pay for that man to have to run the aisles. Somebody paid a price for him to have freedom. Some of you that the Lord has healed your body, there was a price that was paid for that freedom. There was a price that was paid. And some of you want to sit there. And some of you don't want to raise your 5-digit antenna to God And some of you want to sit there with your deals, and you want to sit there and think that you're the only one that is going through anything, and you want to think that you're the only one that is hurt, and you want to think that you're the only one that's been wounded, and you want to think that you're the only one that's been bruised. Listen, friend, you better let the Lord wake you up today. You better tell the Lord, I need a wake-up call. I don't want to forget the price that was paid for my freedom. Freedom in the Holy Ghost is greater than freedom. At any time and at any moment and at any place, all the President of the United States has to do is sign a pen, and some of our freedoms are taken away. But the freedom that we feel in this place, it'll never be taken away. No president can sign it away. No army can destroy it. No army can stand against the power of the living God. No army, no president, no nation can stand against the power of the Word of God. I'm talking about the cost of freedom. Some of you know that God paid a great price for you. You're not your own. You were bought with a price. Oh, this Memorial Day, when you're cooking hot dogs and hamburgers and you're running around, why don't you think of those that gave something? Why don't you think of those that all of a sudden said, you know what? I think that this is worth dying for. I think that this is worth living for. I think that this is worth loving. Some of you have forgotten your heritage. Some of you have forgotten where you came from. Some of you have forgotten things that the Lord has done for you. Some of you are so blind and so far off, you can't even see the nose and spot of your face. I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is telling you, it's time to wake up. It's time to smell the glory. It's time to smell the flowers. It's time to smell the presence and the fragrance of Almighty God. You'll remember this all your life. You'll remember this throughout eternity. The freedom of the Holy Ghost here. Here's a young man in a wheelchair. Here's a young man that was in a wheelchair. And when Pastor David said, why don't you raise your hands to God? He raised his hands to God. And it was a challenge. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy. But you know what? He did it. Why didn't you? I'm going to tell you, you want to know what? Some of you like darkness more than you like light. You be mad at me if you want, but I'm telling you what, this Memorial Day, there's somebody that paid a price for the freedom that we have. Oh, let's love Him. How do you think the heroes of faith became the heroes of faith? Verse 33 of Hebrews 11 says, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned the flight of armies to of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and of scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves. All these, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They, what were they? They were our forefathers. They were men and women that decided, I'm going to stand for God. They were men and women against all odds. They were young people that decided against all odds, I'm going to live for God. They were young people. They were saints of God that decided, above all else, they were prophets. They were farmers. They were countrymen. They were anybody. But they were people that decided, I'm going to stand for this God. Oh, God, the price that was paid for this. God, the price that was paid for us to have this Word. Do you know how much of this book was written from jail? Do you know how much of this book was written by men that didn't know what the outcome was going to be of their own lives and their own faith, but yet they wrote, but yet they stood, but yet they stand? Men! It's time for men to stand. I'm telling you, this Memorial Day, God's looking for some faithful men to stand and say, you know what? I'm going to stand up and I'm going to be counted. He's looking for some young people that are willing to say, I'm going to stand. I'm going to be counted. He's looking for some young ladies to say, I'm going to stand and I'm going to be counted. I'm going to keep myself chaste. I'm going to keep myself pure. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. Oh God, here we stand. Worshiping God as the piano was playing and we were singing, and people came up and people raised their hands and people felt the love of God and people felt the power of God and people felt the mercy of God. It was more than a bunch of guys that said, I want a better country. I want a better country for my kids. They were guys that said, I want a better life for my kids. I don't want my kids to have to live the way that I live. I don't want my kids to have to endure the things that I endured. I don't want that. Oh. What exactly was the price that was paid for this? What exactly happened to some of those ruffians that Jesus called apostles? What exactly happened to them? Stephen was stoned. Philip was beaten, thrown into prison, and crucified. Matthew was slain. James was beheaded. The other James was beaten, stoned, his brains beat out of his head. Matthias was stoned and beheaded. Mark was dragged to pieces by the people after a day of worship to their god, Serapis. Peter was crucified. Bartholomew was severely beaten and crucified. Thomas had a spear pushed through him. Luke hanged by the priests of Greece. Jude was beheaded. Andrew was crucified. Barnabas was slain. Paul was beheaded. John was cast into a boiling pot of oil and banished on the Isle of Patmos, the only one to die of natural causes. But yet, they watched their friends, they watched their cohorts go down one by one. And they said, that's fine.
I'm going to keep walking. I know it's going to cost me something. Freedom isn't free, friend. There's a price to pay for freedom. You got to lay something down. How about starting with your own life? What are we doing? We're just following the example that Jesus gave us. I'm sorry. Michael Servetus was burned at the stake by John Calvin with the greenest wood imaginable. Well, what did he do? What was his crime? His only crime was he believed in the one true God. His only crime was he believed that Jesus was God. His only crime was that he believed that when he saw Jesus, he saw the Father. When he saw Jesus, he saw the Son. When he saw Jesus, he saw the Holy Ghost. What was his crime? His crime was he was baptized in Jesus' name. Burned with the greenest wood imaginable, chained in a prison like a dog. John Calvin would come and, oh, John Calvin, the great man of God. Oh, baloney. Calvin was a pig. Here's this man. What was his crime? His crime was he believed in Jesus Christ. His crime was he was baptized in Jesus' name. And there he is down in a prison like a murderer, like somebody that didn't have any rights, and they had him chained. Calvin wouldn't even allow this man to clean himself. He couldn't even clean himself. He was chained up, and Calvin would come up to him and say, "Listen, we'll let you go. All you gotta do is recant what you said." And he said, "Recant what you wrote." "I'm not gonna recant. I'm not going to recant. Just please, I'm begging you in the name of Christ, let me clean myself. Give me some human dignity." No. Heretic. We're not heretics anymore, Brother David. We're accepted. We're accepted now, Sister David. When you came to this city, you weren't accepted. When you came to this city, people said that you were a cult. When you came to this city, people said you were worship devils. When you came to this city, people wanted them out. Banks probably looked at them when they wanted money and said, "We're not going to lend to you." But now, here we are in 2003. Now here we are in 2003, and we sit in benches, and we got pads on our pews. And we got nice cars, and we got nice homes, and we got nice jobs. Who gave us the nice cars? Who gave us the nice homes? Who gave us the nice jobs? Who gave us the nice building to worship in? Why? Because there was a price paid. Why? Because there was a price paid by our pioneers. As long as I live, Sister David, I'm going to preach this message. I'm not going to mention this. I'm not going to go. I'm not going to go the way. I'm not going to go the way of the world. They're trying to make us accepted. They're trying to make it like it's everything. One in three people, they say, has the gift of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, but one in three people aren't baptized in Jesus' name. And the reason that we're hated is not because of our stand on television. The reason that we're hated is not because of our stand on women's hair. The reason that we're hated is not because of our stand on worldly amusements. The reason that we're hated is because of His name. Because we stand for His name. Because we know who He is. You, but I'm glad that I know who Jesus is. I'm glad that I know who Jesus is. I don't want to forget who Jesus is. Jesus is my God. Jesus is my healer. Jesus is my friend. Jesus is my rock. What you want. I don't care. You young men want to call me a sniveling crybaby, you go ahead and call me a sniveling crybaby. But I don't know, there's just something that got a hold of me this morning. When I thought of all this, when I thought of what my God did, and not only what God did, when I thought about what people did that didn't even have the Holy Ghost, when I thought of what the apostles and the disciples and the believers had to endure, now I can read with so much better clarity. Hebrews 9 and 12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by His own blood He entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkled the unclean sanctify it to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? How much more shall the blood of Christ, who loves you and who died for you and who is calling you out of the darkness? Oh, I got a new appreciation for the blood this morning. I've got a new appreciation for the blood this morning. I've got a new appreciation for the blood this morning. Oh, God, can we just stand to our feet and can we just love Him? Can we just thank Him for the cost of our freedom? Somewhere in the darkness, you'll find Jesus. Somewhere in the darkness of your soul, you'll find Jesus. How will you know that it's Him?
And you know by the nail prints. in the shadow.
Yeah.